And this is an uplifting message on today. It's just kind of something to get your mind going, to get you oriented as to what's really going on. Our text will be coming from, let me see which one we're going with. I think we're going to go over to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Amen. Now, I thought I was already there. I'm going to have to get y'all to wait up on me. Hebrews 12th chapter. Y'all ought to already be there, but now I'm the only one fumbling. And the word of the Lord says from the 12th chapter of Hebrews, therefore, since we are surrounded about by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that does so easily entangle us. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Amen. Amen. You may take your seats. I'd like to speak to you today from a title of, what do you do when your life's in a rut? I think I'll say that again. What do you do when your life's in a rut? See, what we're going to do is analyze this thing a little bit, because most of us do not think that our lives get in ruts. We think we're okay. We think we're all right. We think we got it. But there is a word from the Lord about that. I can remember as a child growing up, as a young boy, my grandfather and I used to haul hay. He had an old International pickup, and it didn't have but two gears in it. It had low and high. So when we go down off in there, we had to go off in a ditch and come back out and go out into the hay meadow to load the hay. It was real. It was an unimproved road, I'll say it like that. For those of you who are not country and understand, it was a muddy dirt road. And whenever it would rain, and after the rain, it would leave ruts. So in order for us to get in and out of there, we'd have to get in those ruts. And they would take us back and forth. See, that's it was just take our vehicle back and forth, the ruts. We had to go the way the ruts go. In other words, the ruts took control of the vehicle. You know, ruts can take control of your life. Once you get in them, you follow that path. The only time we could get out of that rut is when we got up on the highway. It wasn't muddy anymore. That was an improved road. But we'd get up on that highway, and we'd make that turn, headed up that hill. He'd hit low gear, and he'd give it everything it had. Then he put it in third gear, and we chug along. Because that's all he had. But during the time, he had control during that time. He could control where we were going. But when we were coming in and out of there, we had to follow those ruts. And that's what happens to us a lot of times in our life. The first thing about being in a rut is that you just got to realize you're in one. Sometimes Satan has tricked us to the point that we've been in a lifestyle or in a situation or circumstance so long, we don't recognize that it's not where we need to be. Amen? There is a comedian, I always forget his name every time I get up here to say that, that talks about, you know that you are a redneck when. What's his name? Y'all know his name. Fodworthy? Okay, so we're going to go with him this morning and say, you know that you're in a rut when. some of these things go on in your life. The first thing is that everything you do is difficult. You feel like you're spinning your wheels. You get up and you're distraught. Every time you start doing something or start trying to do something, it just won't go right. It's difficult for you. You're fumbling, you're bumbling, you can't get it right. And then you just start spinning. You're spinning your wheels. You worry about everything. But most of the things that you worry about is the stuff that you can't change or you have no control over. You'll spend a whole lot of time worrying about that and recognizing that that's God's business. All we need to be worrying about is giving praise. First of all, is being saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and seeking our Father's approval. That's really what we need to be worried about. Because I want you to understand that all of this right here is temporary. It doesn't make any difference what you think or how you feel. This is temporary. We're in a temporary residence. One day we're going to move on. We're going to move on, and you can't go but to two places. There's not an in-between place to go to. You trust God and you surrender to Him, your body, your heart, your soul, your being. You surrender and say, Father, I surrender all. You take it and do what you need to do with it. If you're willing to do that, you can go and be with Him in paradise. That's what He told the thief on the cross, didn't He? He told him, on this day you will be with me in paradise. He just told him to remember me. He humbled himself while dying on the cross and said, Father, remember me, knowing that he had done wrong all his life. But Jesus, that's the kind of Jesus that we serve, our Savior, while dying himself on the cross, looks over at him and tells him, today you will be with me in paradise. So you either go to paradise, which is sometimes referred to as heaven, or you go to that other place that we refer to as hell, that God has prepared for the devil and his imps. Amen. See, we have to really, really be careful. Don't let anybody tell you that there is not a hell. That God, if God said it and it's in the book that he did this, that he prepared a place for Satan and his imps. And this place is where at the end time, the devil and the Antichrist will be cast in that lake of fire. That's for real. That's not for play. So what we're doing right now is getting ourselves prepared. Romans 10:9 says, if we do what? With our mouth. Confess with our mouth, believe in our heart, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that God did raise him from the dead, we shall be saved. So it's really a simple thing. It is your belief factor. It's really, really simple. So when you're in a rut, you also stay physically and emotionally drained. You're always tired. You come home and you just wore out. You don't feel like doing nothing. Everything just bores you to death. You don't know what to do. You can't get along with anybody. You're hard to get along with. The wife can't get along with her. She acting up bad. The husband, he going slap off. He talking crazy, acting up, doing stuff he ain't got no business doing. Y'all pray with me, and I'll go ahead and sit down. Y'all pray with me so I can get through with this. Children, they act like they lost their mind. They've gone loco. Then you go to work and you got to deal with your coworkers, and they just get under. It's just like running a piece of metal under your fingernail. Sometimes they get on your nerves that bad, just worry you to death. But that's rut mentality. Then you start raising hell at church. You get mad when you don't get your way. You'll go home and you'll sit down. Or you just won't come to church at all. And you're always living in the past. Talking about, I remember when we. I remember when we done this. And I remember when we done. I remember when Pastor so-and-so was here. We didn't do this kind of stuff. Ain't none of that of God. He says, do this in remembrance of me, and that's why we have an ordinance. Do this in remembrance of me, we do on the first Sunday, or whenever you choose to do it, or whenever you desire to do it. You take the bread, which is a symbol of his body, and you drink the wine, which is a symbol of his blood. That's what he told us to remember. He ain't told us to remember no mess. But that's what we do. We'll remember some mess, and then we'll have the gall to say, I tell you what, I forgive her, but I ain't going to forget it. We'll say that all day long. I forgive her. I ain't going to forget it, though. I'm going to remember. What if God told us that? What if God did us like that? When you forgive, you got to forgive. You got to be genuine. Because, see, that's what God does. Be not dismayed, beloved God. Be not dismayed. God looks at your heart. And he knows what's in your heart. You can say whatever you want to out of your mouth all day long. You can talk that yang all day long and trip and tell everybody this and that and other and fall all out in the flow, bucking, turning flips, somersaults. But he knows what's in your heart. He knows exactly what's in your heart. And we have to understand that. We're always living in the past. It says, when we ain't living in the past, the next thing we do is we have self-indulgence. We just pity ourselves. Oh, Lord, why is it me? Why come everything happen to me? The car done tore up. They done raised the insurance. I ain't got no raise in 2 or 3 months on the job. I don't know how they think I'm going to live. This make me sick. I don't even want to go to work no more. I don't see that happening to nobody else. I see them folk don't even go to church over there. They got a brand new car sitting over there. Brand new nice Lexus. Got a 3,200 square foot home. And them rascals don't go to church or nothing. Here I am struggling. What's wrong, God? What's going on? We're suspicious of everybody and everything. When folk come into church trying to seek Jesus, trying to seek salvation, we go to looking at them and trying to figure it out. What they come up in here for? I heard something about them. When I was at Walmart the other day, I heard about her. So we need to be ready for them when they get up in here. Shoot, we don't want her singing in the choir with us. We don't want her on the usher board with us. We know how she is. Honey, child, she's a sinner. And then when you hear that, all the men perk up in the church. When you hear that, whoop, she's a sinner. What? Whoop. Hello. Okay, got one coming in. Y'all pray for me. Pray for me. Finally, your faith has dwindled. And you stopped praying. See, that's the main thing. It's when you stop praying. Prayer is the beginning of a relationship between you and God. The first thing that we have to establish is that vertical relationship. We have to do that. And when Jesus came and the veil of the temple was rent after he died on the cross, and gave us an opportunity to come to God. We don't have to have a priest. We don't have to have a pastor. We don't have to have anybody. You can go directly to God. But you got to pray. The Bible says pray in season and out of season. Jesus said, my house will be called a house of prayer. We have not because we ask not. We don't pray because Satan has tricked us and told us that, yeah, you need to pray in him. You don't get it. Anyway, if you did get it, you don't deserve it. Remember, you sinned. Remember what you did? Why are you going to ask the Lord for something? You sinner. Don't believe the Lord is going to give you nothing because he ain't. Does the Lord hear a sinner's prayer? Does he hear the sinner's prayer? Huh? Has to. We're all sinners saved by grace. Amen. That's not me. That's the book. We're all sinners saved by grace. But we got to pray. We gotta do that hookup. Then we can deal with the horizontal relationships. We can deal with the relationships between husband and wife, between children and parents, between co-workers, between church members. You can deal with all of that all day long. But you first have to pray. Now that you know you're in a rut, we've identified that. We're in a rut, right? Now we got to figure out how we're going to get out of this rut. The answer to us being in the rut, first of all, is, I guess the question is, how did we get there? How did we get in that rut? I would say that y'all ask some good questions, you know what? You get in that rut because of a three-letter word that has done damage since Adam. Sin. It is sin. See, sin, anytime you sin, it separates you from God. You're disconnected. It's just like, you know how you plug in a fan and you unplug it? When you sin, you unplug. Now, the only thing, you can be plugged back in. There is a remedy. You can be plugged back in. But first of all, you got to humble yourself and pray. That's what he told him to do, didn't he? In that back over in, help me, Lord Jesus. Seventh chapter of, anyway, Solomon is praying to God. And he's telling him, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then when I hear from heaven, I will heal their sicknesses, I'll heal their land, and I'll save them. See, that's what we got to really look at is, how do we get on the road? We say we're in a rut. We want to get up on the highway. We want to get up on smooth ground so that we could travel. And the first thing we have to do is surrender all to Jesus. Now, we can't. Our biggest problem with surrendering is that we don't surrender all. We surrender some. Some of the things we'll surrender to him, and then other things we keep and we say, we can handle them, Lord. We got this. That one right there, we don't need you for this. We can figure this out on our own. And all you do is create a utter disaster, a complete mess, because you're not capable of doing it. That's why we need Jesus in our life, because he can do exceedingly abundantly above anything that we could ever do what? Ask or think. So we're no match for that, are we? We're very limited in what we can do and how we can get ourselves out of trouble. Well, we have to understand that there is a divine plan, and that divine plan is that all would be saved. God would have it that all would be saved. Not some, not a few, but all would be saved. But Satan also has a plan. His plan is to kill, to destroy, create havoc. Satan tries every trick in the book to stop us from receiving the blessing that God has for us. Over in the book of Deuteronomy, in the law, it was told that if you did everything that you were told to do in the law, that your blessings would overtake you. That you would be so blessed that the blessings would overtake you. All you had to do was what was in the law. Do every word that was in the law. Now we don't even have a law to worry about. All we have to do is trust in the Lord. That's all we have to do now is trust in the Lord. It doesn't matter about Satan and his devices. See, we're not unaware of that. The Bible tells us over in Galatians how to deal with that, how to turn that over. Every battle we encounter is won and lost in the arena of our minds. You see, sin always destroys something. It never comes into your life and doesn't destroy something. It kills your joy. It kills your peace. It kills your purity in a lot of cases. It destroys your happiness. It can destroy your healthiness. and your marital harmony. That's what he really likes to go after. See, Satan likes to destroy families. He likes to bust family units up. He doesn't like families. So that's where he attacks most of the time. And he knows how to attack. Satan knows what you like. And he knows how you like it. And he knows when you like it. So he makes himself available. He makes those things available to you. But all we have to do, what did he say about that? God told us that he would never tempt us beyond where we could not stand it, right? And then he would prepare a way for us to get out. We can escape. See, God gave us free will. When you're his and when you have accepted him as your Lord and Savior, you choose not to do those things because you surrender. You've given up on those things because you know what the end of that is. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. Today is the day. Today is your opportunity. Because none of us are guaranteed. We don't know if we're going to make it through the next hour. Our number may come up. Once your number come up, you're out of here. And then after that, it's not that easy. We don't just die and go lay down. See, there's a judgment after you die. You got to be judged for all the things that you did in this body. Be them good, be them bad. So while we have an opportunity, maybe we ought to try to tip the scale and start moving from this day forward. Let's do good. Let's outweigh the bad side of the scale. Let's do good so we can receive the blessings that God has for us. God wants to bless us. He has so much in store for us. He has so much he wants to give us. He has so much he wants to do for you in your life, but you won't let him in. You have to yield. You have to surrender yourself in a rut. Well, I would do it, but I got to work. I got to go to work. We can make time for everything. Well, we need a vacation, man. We're going to take off and have us a vacation. But you can't take off an hour to come to Bible study. These are things that are going to be added on the books. We're talking about adding things on your books. Sister Roberta, you know about that. That's what they used to do a long time ago, is add it on your book. See, that's what God does, is he adds it on your book. So we're going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to have to see what's on our books. And whatever ain't true and pure, it'll be burnt up. And then that's when we get told, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And that's the position that we don't want to be in. That's where we don't want to be. Because we don't have to be. It's not until sin, unfortunately, it is not until sin comes in and totally just tears up everything, wrecks everything. Your life is a total shamble. Your life is though a hurricane has hit it. Then we want to run to the Lord. Then we come. And that's all right, because that's where we need to come. But we can remedy the storm. We don't have to go through the storm. A lot of the storms in our life, we don't have to go through. If we would just trust God. He tells us all the time in his word, it's always encouraging, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And it doesn't matter what your situation is or what you're going through. There is a remedy for sin. The psalmist said in Psalms 119 in verse 1, I have hidden your words in my heart that I might not sin against you. So how can you hide the words in your heart? That means that you have to study and show thyself approved. 2 Timothy 2:15. Unto God. We have to study and show ourselves approved unto God. A workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth. Getting up here talking about what's right, not what I want to talk about or what I think or the way I feel like it ought to go, but the way God said it was going to be. And the keen thing about prayer, we've sinned, we've repented, and once you pray, things begin to change. See, prayer destroys the power of sin. Things start changing in your life when you start allotting some time to pray. Me and my wife pray every day together. Every morning when we get up, we pray every day. Every day. And it keeps down so much hell in the house. Because we start our day off with the Lord. We acknowledge Him right off the bat, thanking Him for arising this morning, then ask us to, you chart our course for the day. Because we don't know where we're headed. We don't know what we may run into. So we're gonna ask you to prearrange us a route to take. Where there's a wreck over here, or where there might be a wreck over here, and something happens, you prearrange us a route to go around that traffic so that we don't have to endure that incoming wreck that could be set up just for us. See, it's protection in it. We're talking about protection. When we want to get out of a rut, there's a few things we got to do. We got to what? We got to pray. We got to pray. And then we got to accept Jesus is our Lord and Savior. We got to humble ourselves. And then we got to have hope. See, that's what a Christian stands on, is hope. If we have no hope of an eternal life, then Christ died for nothing. If we don't believe the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that's for real. And that's why we come Sunday after Sunday and do what we do. That's the very reason. It's because we're looking at where we're going to spend eternity. Amen. If we establish that consistent prayer life and set a time daily that we can pray, and then we just repent, because we sin unconsciously sometimes. There's sin of omission and there's sin of commission. Sometimes we sin and we don't realize it, that we've done it. So that's why we have to pray ourselves up. Put some prayer in the bank for the times that we sin and we don't know that we sin. Thanksgiving prayer, and then intercessory prayer for others. We got to pray for others as well, not only ourselves. Because remember, it's not ever about us. That's the one thing that we had to remember, that Christ wanted to make sure that we understood. Because He told us before He left to love your neighbor as yourself. So it's not always about us. You got to love your neighbor just like you would love yourself. See, God hears all prayers. He does not discriminate between the rich, the poor, the strong, the weak. No matter who the person is praying, it don't make no difference who is praying or the passion behind it. See, that was a great argument about, does God hear a sinner's prayer? See, God can do anything He want to do. We don't get to put no label on God about what He can hear, what He can do, and who He's blessing and who He's not blessing. And God ain't in that. We don't know what God is in. We just need to do what we're supposed to do concerning God. God will always answer prayers that are in alignment with His will. See, that's the key with your prayers, is that it has to be within your will, because God has a will for your life. Each and every one of us that are here today was purposed for God's glory, to get the glory out of your life through your spiritual gift. Well, what is your spiritual gift? Everybody ought to be able to pop up and say, my spiritual gift is this, my spiritual gift. And you can have more than one. Your spiritual gift ain't playing like Tony. That's a talent. Tony has some other spiritual gifts. Singing in the choir, having a great voice, that's a talent. Your spiritual gifts are whatever you do well, whatever God has given you to make a living off of, to share with others. It could be a spirit of giving, a spirit of helps. There's numerous gifts. But we need to know what our gift is. We need to research that. And so we can know what our spiritual gift is, so we can work out our soul salvation. We can work towards the kingdom. We can do kingdom work. Because that's what it's all about. when I was talking about heaven earlier. See, I can't wait to get there. See, I know on this side there's all kind of burdens and there's all kind of pains and there's all kind of hurt, there's sickness. But in heaven, it's not like that. See, in heaven, they say they have streets paved with gold. And see, I'm so happy to get there. I can't wait to get to heaven. Because see, I'm tired of this old world and the way it treats you. See, this side ain't going to ever get any better. This is as good as it's going to get. It's going to get worse from here on out. But one day, Godfrey's number is going to come up. And I'll be able to walk and be with my Savior. See, if nothing else, I get to see God as He is. I get to see the one, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ who died for me. See, I have a mansion in there. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. See, He's already prepared a place for me. And He prepared a place for me and it's just mine. It's got my name on it. My door, my number. It says Godfrey in my mansion. And all I have to do is trust and believe. And do the things that He's assigned my hands to do. That's not a hard chore. But we got to get out of self in order to do all those things. You got to get out of self. When you're in self, you can't do nothing for nobody. Ever. You're back in that rut. See, we don't try to get you out of the rut, right? You know what you need to do to get out of the rut? But we got to rejoice. We got to have hope in Jesus and what we're going through. We got to rejoice in His perfect peace. See, peace that surpasses all understanding. See, that's what we're looking for in the end, is peace. That perfect peace that only Jesus can give us. See, we can have that on this side. See, the things I'm talking about, we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to have these things. He's already told us that He would, that we would have life and we would have it more abundantly. That means if you just behave and you just do what I ask you to do, you can have life abundantly. All you have to do is just ask me and I'll tell you what you need to do. Our scripture talks about laying aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. See, that's the biggest problem that we have, is laying aside that sin. See, we all got that one sin. See, that's what that's talking about. See, it's a weight on us. It weighs you down. You got to get rid of that weight and lay that sin aside so you can run the race. You can't run the race with that weight on you because it holds you down. It keeps you back. See, God is the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one that starts that race. He started that race and put us in the race. And then He's standing there at the finish line when we finish. But He told us, in order for you to finish, you got to take off something. You got to take it off. Because it's holding you back. Well, what you got to do? You got to take off lying. You got to take off hating each other. You got to take off not serving God. You got to take off not loving your husband like you ought to love him. Or loving your wife the way you ought to love him. See, once you join together, you're one. Once you join together in holy matrimony, you're one. God looks at you as one. So what's the problem about us being in a rut? We know what to do now, don't we? We do what the 12th chapter of Hebrews told us to do, right? It said lay aside every weight, not one or two, because when you run track, you put weights on, don't you? But you got to get them off before you take off and run the race. We got to take off hate, malice, envy, all those ugly things that we put on. We got to take them off so that we can run this race that He has set before us. And see, all of us has a race. It's not the same race. Yours may be the 880. Yours may be the 440, 100-yard dash, but we all have a race because we are all purposed for God's glory in some kind of way. Amen? What do you do when your life's in a rut? I hope that y'all got something out of this word today, is that God gave me to give to you. I don't know if that's what you needed here, but that's what God gave me to give you. Is that if your life is in a rut, He's able to get you out of that rut. and you don't ever have to get back in it again. You can do smooth sailing all the way because my God and my Lord is able to do anything. And then you too can do all things. And if you read some of this scripture a little bit more and go over to the 14th chapter of John, it tells you when Jesus was going, he was telling his disciples, he said, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go away to prepare a place for you. That is our hope, is that he's gone to prepare a place for us. We don't know when he's going to come through the door. We don't know when he's going to call for us. We don't know when we're going to go meet him in the air. Amen. But we do know we're going to go meet him in the air. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back for the church without a spot or a wrinkle, right? So we have to be prepared. We have to make sure that we're on point. We have to be ready and willing to do the master's will. I'm like my pastor now. I ain't through, but I'm going to quit.